Shalom Aleichem. I'm recording a shiur that I gave this past Shabbos in our shul, Kehilas Beis Yehuda, in Wesley Hills, New York, in honor of the 8th year site of our teacher, Danny Berkowitz, David Aaron Misanel, Ben Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Tzvi. And I spoke about this past Shabbos, which was Parshas Tetzaveh, for two reasons. The first is that there is a link between Parshas Tetzaveh and the topic of Matalos Levyonim, a somewhat obscure place, but there is a link between the two. The link can be found in the Turi Eben, based on the Gemara in Yuma, Mar Megillah, in dissecting and understanding the word Kutanos, which appears in Parshas Tetzaveh, of course, the vestment, the clothing of the Kohen. The question is, what does Kutanos mean? The singular of Kutanos is the Kisones. And then the pasuk says that Bnei Aaron will have Kutanos. So there's an achlokas in Yushalmi, what exactly that word means. What some opinions say, it means that every Kohen should have multiple Kisones. And the other opinion, which certainly makes a lot more sense, is that it's speaking about Bnei Aaron, that they should have Kutanos, namely that every member of the family of Kohanim should have their own kesones. Again, so is it multiple garments for one person, or that multiple people have one garment? So, of course, that relates to Matanos of Yonim, because the Gemara says that the taich of Matanos of Yonim means one matana, one financial gift to every Evyon. So again, Matanos Evyonim does not mean multiple gifts for one Evyon. What it means is one gift for all the various Evyonim that are there. So Turi Eben and Megillah, based on that Gemara, said that this can come and essentially resolve the issue about Kutanos. Because in the same way that Kutanos is written in plural, Matanos Evyonim is written in plural, what it means is one garment or one gift for all the people that are there. So that was the link to Parshas Tetzaveh. And also this past week was Purim Katan, which is the day of Danny Berkowitz's Yortzeit. And it's somewhat difficult to define the exact chiyuvim for Adar Rishon and for Purim Katan. The Mishnah says in Megillah that Ein Bein, this is sort of the beginning of the Ein Bein Mishnayos and Gemaras, there's no distinction, there's no difference between Purim Katan and the normal Purim. And the only real difference is Megillah and Matanos Avyonim, i.e. Megillah and Matanos Avyonim apply to the normal Purim as opposed to Purim Katan. And the Rishonim add on to that, that's true by Mishloach Manos also. So even though that A Megillah, Matanos Avyonim, Mishloach Manos has no shaychus, has no connection to Purim Katan, and certainly that's the way that we paskin. On the other hand, we do know that according to the Shitas Tosvos, and this is recorded in the Ramah, and according to other Rishonim as well, there is an Indian of Seuda on Purim Katan, whether it's a full-blown Suda, as one opinion holds, or whether it's just the Marbe B'Suda Ketzas, which is the final conclusion, just have a little bit more of a meal. And that relates to the fact that there's some Indian of Simcha on Purim Katan. We know that the Gemara says, Mishnichnas Adar Marbe B'Simcha. The question is, which Adar is that they're referring to? So this is a question which is raised in the Shevet Halevi and the Wozner, in the Shelus Yabitz, we also in Ibishitz, many other Achronim as well, and there are those opinions who do say that there's an Indian of Simcha on Adar Rishon, and there is a greater Indian of Simcha on Purim Katan, and perhaps one can say that the obligations of Mishloach Manos, the Matanos of Yonim, relate to A, the Seuda, relate to Simcha, and therefore it's an open question. I've never seen it mentioned explicitly in the poskim, that maybe Matanos of Yonim Mishloach Manos, or maybe there is some Indian, at least conceptually, of that applying to Purim Katan as well. So with that as an introduction, A, the connection of Parshas Tetzaveh to Matanos of Yonim, and B, the at least potential, at least in theory, placement of Matanos Lavyonim as connected to Purim Katan. Let's speak for just a few minutes about this chiyuv of Matanos Lavyonim. I do want to apologize. I'm giving this shiur sitting in a car or driving a car, so it might be a little bit noisy. And because I'm driving in a car, I also don't have my tzvarim in front of me, so try to do some of the quotations by memory, which as time goes on is not what it used to be. So, but we'll try to certainly do our best under those circumstances. Now, there's a widespread discussion about Matanos Lavyonim of how exactly to construct and how exactly to define that chiyuv, that obligation of Matanos Lavyonim. On the one hand, it would be easy to say that Matanos Lavyonim is simply a mitzvah of tzedakah, and it's a mitzvah of tzedakah that that is placed on Purim, and perhaps because it's unique to Purim, it's constructed differently than a normal Hilchot Tzedakah. But fundamentally, it's a din in tzedakah, and certainly one can make that argument. But on the other hand, there's so many anomalies in halacha and Matanos Lavyonim that seems that one would construct or articulate that this really is a very different chiyuv altogether, that it's not fundamentally a din in tzedakah. Maybe it's driven by, it's animated by something different altogether. So what are some of those anomalies? And again, this is well known to people who know the sugya of Matanos Lavyonim, and perhaps even well known to those people who just are used to giving Matanos Lavyonim. But let's mention maybe five or six different anomalies, so to speak. Now, the first is that the Mechaber paskins that every person has to give lefachos, every person has to give at the very least two matanos to two different evyonims. And the language that is somewhat, I won't say perplexing, but open-ended, is lefachos. You have to give at the very least two matanos. So the acharonim paskin, based on that, that there's really no maximum of matanos avyonim. You have to give at least two people, and you have to give at least two shavuot prutos, but that's really the floor of the chi of lamata. That's like the lower end of the obligation. It doesn't speak about the far end of the obligation. So many acharonim believe that there's really no shiur. There's no maximum. A person can give whatever they want. And of course, that's something which flies in the face of the normal chiyuvim about tzedakah. Now, the chiyuv tzedakah itself is somewhat complicated because midoraisa, the chiyuv is to give de machzaro, to give to a person that which their needs are. There's not an explicit shiur in the Torah. We know, of course, however, that Jew is supposed to give meiser, and he's supposed to be serious about giving meiser. And meiser itself, clearly there is ideas of shiurim. There's ideas of measurements. A person is supposed to give at least 10%. A person is not supposed to give more than 20%, although there are some exceptions to that as well. We know, of course, the famous Lashon of the Rambam, that if a person gives more than 20%, they're chassid shote. So there is a certain structure to meiser. And by the way, just as a side note, there's an extensive discussion in the Rishonim and Acharonim as to the nature of the chiyuv of a meiser. Is it a din d'oraisa, which is one opinion brought down in Tosfos? Is it a din d'rabbanan? Is it only a minhag? But we assume that it's definitely not a din d'oraisa, either din d'rabbanan or minhag, but either way, that chiyuv of a meiser has limitations. And again, that's not true by Matanos Lavyonim. So that's anomaly number one. Anomaly number two is that the Mishabur Paskins, that the money that is given from Matanos Lavyonim can't come from that aforementioned Meiser. It has to come, the language, which is somewhat informative, it has to come Mishalo, it has to come from his own. As though to say that the money that a person gives from Meiser is not his. It's already something that is separated almost from the time that he gets his salary that belongs to the Aniyim or that belongs to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the money from Matanos Avionim has to come Mishalo, and it can't be used for money that was allocated for Miser. And again, indicating that perhaps the chiyuv that we're speaking about is something different than normal tzedakah. Okay, number three, we know that an ani is exempt from giving tzedakah. Obviously, the ani, if the chiyuv is that to provide for aniyim, so the ani himself, who's someone that has to rely on the tamchoi, on the community plate and the community needs, is exempt from giving maaser. But that's not true by Matanos Avionim. Matanos Avionim, every person has to give. Even if you're an ani, you have to give. It's somewhat reminiscent of the chiyuv of Dalet Kosos, where the Mishnah tells us that even the ani has to go raise money for it. That's true by Matanos Avionim also, that an ani has to give to Matanos Avionim. So that would be anomaly number three. Number four, the Gemara says in Baba Metzia, on Daf, if I'm not mistaken, Ayin Ches and Mabez, the Gemara has two different comments. One of which is that the community cannot use the money for Matanos Avionim to anything else. Meaning if money is allocated towards Matanos Avionim, it has to use Matanos Avionim. It can't be used for any other cause. It can't be used for something that is something other than an Evyon. Unlike other cases of tzedakah, where it's left to the discretion of the Gabbai tzedakah, that if there's no longer the need for X, he's allowed to give to Y, that is not true when it comes to Matanos Avionim. And all this is recorded in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Reish Tzadi Dalet. Furthermore, that same Gemara Bava Metzia says that a medaktin de matanos avyonim, we're not medaktik. What does it mean to not be medaktik? So the shita of Rashi there in the Gemara Bava Metzia is that if a person comes and says, I need, $200, so then we don't say, well, what exactly do you need that for? We want to give you $100. The person says he has that need, so then he has that need. Now, that already is unique, but the Shita, the Ritva, and other Rishonim, the very, very famous Ritva, is what a medaktikin means is that we're not concerned about who's coming to your door. Normally, Hilchot Tzedakah mandates that if somebody comes to your door, so you are medaktik. Who are you? Where are you coming from? Where is your note? We want to make sure that we know exactly who it is that's coming to our door. By Matanos Avionim, the Lashon Ritva is Kol Poshet Yado. Anybody who extends their hand for tzedakah, we immediately say, yes, we want to give you. We're not going to check on who you are. We believe you. And the Mishnah Berurah and other poskim, they say, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, even the Ritva himself says this, that would be true even if the potential that the person asking is not even Jewish. Now, what is interesting is that the Mishnah Berurah paskins that we would do this mitzad darchei shalom. Now, what does darchei shalom mean? So darchei shalom, according to most Rishonim, what that means, and just the pashtos of the Mishnah and the Gemara, Maseches Gittin, is that darchei shalom means that we want the non-Jews to either to like us or to not hate us or to treat us kindly. So because of those concerns of Darchei Shalom, to avoid any machlokas, so sometimes we have to do X, Y, and Z. And Shibura says that this would be the same thing as well, to avoid machlokas. Now there's a somewhat more, I guess almost like an elegant formulation by the Rambam. When the Rambam mentions the halacha of Darchei Shalom as it relates to non-Jews, he says, because Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav v'chassid b'chol ma'asav, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is righteous to everyone and cares about everybody and is generous to every living being, etc. So Darchei Shalom is not just as a way of like avoiding tension and avoiding persecution, but it's somewhat more humanistic, so to speak. But again, that shita of the Gemara, the Ritva, of Kol Poshet Yado, even a non-Jew, it's not just as a Darkei Shalom, I would say. It's because that's really the spirit of the Yom. That's the spirit of the day of generosity and open-heartedness and not being didactic, as opposed to just a Darkei Shalom consideration. But again, clearly that stands in the face of the normal halachos of tzedakah. By tzedakah, we don't say kol poshet yado. Okay, so that's another anomaly. And lastly, not so much an anomaly, but a question about the following. Let's say if a person collects matanos lavyonim and the shul collects it, you know, 3 days before Purim, and a person writes a check for $100, certainly it fulfilled the obligation of matanos lavyonim. And even though the shul might then divvy up that money on Purim itself, some posts can say that we should still give out. I mean, any given person should still make sure to give out money on Purim itself. So even though you've given money beforehand, there is an Indian of giving more on Purim Day. And the question again, of course, would be why is that? So all those are questions about the unique nature of Matanos of Yonim. So again, number one, the very fact that it is not a maximum shiur. Number two, the fact that this is not counted as part of Meiser. Number three, even the Ani himself has to give. Number four, the fact that a person should give on Purim Day, even if they gave beforehand. Number five, the very fact that the community and the person who the Gabbai Tzedakah does not and cannot exchange this money for anything else. And lastly, perhaps most striking and most famous is this same language we mentioned about Mitzia, Eimedakkin, the Matanos of Yonim, namely, we're not careful, we're not exacting, both either according to Shitas Rashi, as far as giving as much as the person says that he needs, or number two, whoever it is that comes to your door, so we give to that person. And again, all of these are different. Now, the Achronim have the following approach. The approach is that there is a basic shaila, a basic hakira. This can be found in many Achronim. I just saw it again this week in one of Asher Weiss's Svarim. It's really a shaila as far as what animates the chiyuv of Matanos of Yonim. Either A, you could say that it's a fundamental din in tzedakah, but because it's tzedakah that is part of the chiyuv Hayom Purim, so it has different contours, it has different shapes, it has different reflections, but fundamentally it's a din in tzedakah. Or you say no, that it's a din in something else. It's a din perhaps in Simchas HaChag, that this is part of the rejoicing of Purim. In the same way that a person has a chiyuv of Simcha for himself, so too he has a chiyuv to misameach others, especially as it relates to a suda. And therefore, all of the dinim of Matanos of Yonim relates to a din in Simchas Purim and a din in the festivity and the joy of the day of Purim. Therefore, if it's a din in Simchas HaChag, then maybe there's no shir, and maybe that money can't be for something else, and it can't be taken from Meiser. And because again, it's a shir of Simcha, and maybe even more so, which again I think makes a lot of sense. It's a din in the Simcha of the unity of Klal Yisrael, the Nishmas Yisrael. Especially, and I thought this many years ago, never saw it inside, but I think it's a very simple idea, especially considering the whole idea of the Nafocho and really transforming and turning around the entire destiny and the history of the Jewish people as it relates to the story of Purim. So Haman that comes and declares, Yesh Am Fuzar Mufurad, there's this nation, they don't care about each other, they're separate from each other. But Thomas of Yonim is demonstrating exactly just the opposite. You know, whoever comes, kol poshet yado, there's no maximum. This has to be done on Purim itself. Even the Aniyim have to be involved. It's really a din in the Simcha, but it's a din in the Simcha of the unity of Israel and the fundamental sense of the Nishmas Yisrael. I think all that is true. That Hakira is definitely true. But I thought also perhaps that one can say, and it definitely was thinking about this in relation to the Danny's Yurt site, that perhaps what one can say is that the Tzedakah Matanos of Yonim is not just a din in simcha, but it's a din in the narrative, the continuing narrative of the Jewish people. What do I mean when I say that? So let's think about the obligation that the Torah speaks about repeatedly of how to treat the ger, how to treat anybody who is downtrodden. And of course, the Torah says, "Kigerim hayisem," because you yourselves were gerim, you yourselves were foreigners in the land of Mitzrayim. So if that's the case, of course, you should treat people in a certain type of way. Now, the simple pshat of how to understand that, "Kigerim hayisem," is that you of all people should know what other people experience and other people's suffering and what it's like to be a ger. So you of all people should have those sensitivities. And undoubtedly, that pshat is true. But perhaps on a deeper level is a statement of, "Kigerim hayisem," you were people where your background was to be downtrodden, to be depressed, to be subjugated, and you now have a choice. How are you now going to construct your communities? How are you now going to live your lives? Is your suppression, the anti-Semitism, the difficulties that you have had and we have had as a community, is that going to lead you to be more self-centered and more self-seeking, and I'm going to get mine, and I'm going to, you know, do what I have to do to survive, and I'm going to, you know, put myself in this little corner and hoard my money and hoard my resources? Or does your history now lead you to a life of generosity to the gerim and to the amanos and to the yesomim and to the aniyim? And so where do you go with the struggles that we as a nation have undergone? I think to a large degree that could also animate the chiyuv of Matan Slavyonim. Purim is a story of the Jew in exile. It's a story of the Jew who always finds themselves on the precipice, on the brink of destruction. It's a story of a nation always looking over their shoulder and always feeling that the other shoe is going to drop and feeling as though, you know, at any moment there could be you know, extinction, and that has been true, traveling from place to place and always running afoul of the leadership of the government and the history of pogroms, etc. And the question is, where does that lead us? Does that lead us to a place of hoarding, of narrowness, of I'll get mine and I'll worry about everything else later? Or does that lead us to a place of absolute generosity, of yes, I've been through that experience, but now where do I go from there? And that's really what Matan Slavyonim is about. It's tzedakah, but it's tzedakah that comes out of the framework, so to speak, of struggle and of tragedy. And if that's the case, if that's what animates it, it's not a normal din in tzedakah. It's tzedakah that comes out of the history and the struggles and the tragedies and the victories of Klal Yisrael. And in that place, we're not worried about shiurim. We're not worried about whether you're an ani or whether you're not an ani. We're not worried about who's knocking at your door. From that place, it animates a very different type of obligation. And I'd like to say perhaps that also comes to explain, at least to me, a distinction in the language of the Rambam that I believe requires explanation. What do I mean by that? There's two famous Rambams that speak about the idea of charity in the context of a yontiv, in the context of a chag. So one of them is the Rambam that appears, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have it in front of me, is Perek Zayin Halacha Vav in Hilchos Yontiv. And there the Rambam, of course, speaks about the mitzvah of Simchas Yontiv. And the Rambam's formulation is that there still is a chiyuv d'oraisa of Simchas Yontiv even during our days. And according to the Rambam, one fulfills that through Basar V'Yayin. And the Rambam then says that we should make sure that that Simcha involves Amanos and Yesomim, because he says that anybody who is Mismesameach for themselves and does not bring into that Amanos V'Yesomim, that's not Simcha Shel Mitzvah, that's not Simcha Yontiv, but rather that is simchas kreso, that is just the enjoyment of their stomach, their bellies. Okay, so we understand that. It's a very beautiful Rambam. Therefore, we shouldn't be gluttons. We should rather bring into our homes from the chatzeros, from the courtyards, people who are more needing. That's one Rambam. Now, the second Rambam appears in Hilchos Purim. The Rambam lays out all of the mitzvos of Purim, Megillah, Seuda, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Avyonim. And the Rambam then says, but of course, the most important of all those mitzvos, Matanos Avyonim, a person should not focus on the Seuda, a person should not spend too much money on Mishloach Manos, a person should use as much money as possible on Matanos Avyonim. And then the Rambam says that anybody who does that, I believe the language of the Rambam is Shechina. That's the way that a person brings the a godly spirit into one's life. Now, I thought that the difference of that formulation is noteworthy. The Rambam does not say Hariz a Shechina when it comes to Hilchos Yontif. And you would think that it would make sense there as well. The Rambam says that any person who just enjoys his meal, that's Simchas Kreso. Why doesn't the Rambam say Hariz Ashchina, that this is also the bringing into one's life the Holy Spirit? Why is it only reserved for Hilchos Purim? So I think it's probably one of the same, no matter which formulation you take. Whether you say that this is a din in Simcha, and the Simcha of the Nishmas Yisrael, and the connection of the Nishmas Yisrael, and perhaps that is specifically what brings Shechina into one's life. But that, in theory, should exist by Hilchos Yontif as well. But perhaps if you say that what this is man looking at their own life, looking at their own struggles, their own tragedies, Klal Yisrael looking at their own history, in which they could have then retreated into a selfish corner, but they say, no, that history is going to animate generosity. That is Shechina. That is living a godly life. That is living a meaningful life. That is living a profound life, specifically because of the history, specifically because of the context out of which that generosity comes. And I think to me, at least, that is such a meaningful idea. Kadosh Baruch Hu visits us in those places, not in the place of simplicity, not in the place of everything being harmonious. Kadosh Baruch Hu visits our life when we confront the more challenges, when we confront the history of some of our lives that might have been challenging. And then based on that, we live a life of sanctity, a life of Kedusha, a life of generosity, a life of goodness and decency. That's the life that brings Shechina. Mishim, all of us should be zocher to fulfill the mitzvah of Yonim, to not take that money from Meiser, even if a person is an ani, to give that money, to not worry about Shiurim, to not worry about who's knocking on our door, to make sure we do that mitzvah in Purim itself. And by doing that, we should be zocher to all of the blessings promised to us in the times of the Megillah, in the times of the Gemara, Ad Hayom Hazeh. Thank you, everyone. And again, this was Le'ilui Nishmas, our good friend Danny Berkowitz, the Berkowitz family, should only enjoy and share simchas moving forward.